Good morning. Okay, we gotta try that again. Y'all have got to wake up. If I can be awake, you can be awake. So good morning. All right, that was better. That's better. Do I need this? Can you hear me without that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because honestly, he has a microphone. Okay, probably gonna be listening to him anyway. Okay. All right. For many of you, you already are aware, you've been praying for me the last few weeks for my father, and I wanted to say thank you.
Your father?
Yeah, and my dad. So they've been praying for my dad, and I'm just saying thank you.
Yeah, quý vị đã có nhiều người đã cầu nguyện cho tôi và ông thân của tôi trong suốt những tuần qua. Cảm ơn.
So the doctors have said that there's nothing they can do and that he's probably going to die in the next few weeks.
Bác sĩ thì là nói là họ đã bó tay và ông cụ có thể là về vị trí của sơ.
So you may be asking yourselves, how can I be so unemotional or so relaxed about that news?
Quý vị có thể hỏi tại sao mà trước khi tin lớn như vậy mà tôi không có vẻ gì là xúc động nhiều.
Now don't get me wrong, there's been lots of tears, there's been lots of sadness. But at the end of the day, today's sermon is the reason why I don't grieve the way most people grieve.
Quý vị đừng làm vì cũng có những giọt nước mắt xảy ra, cũng có sự buồn thảm. Nhưng cuối cùng thì ngày hôm nay, cái sự mà tôi khóc về ông cụ cũng giống như những người khác. Đó là cái bài giảng của tôi sẽ cho quý vị thấy.
Because this morning we're going to talk about transformation.
Sáng nay chúng ta sẽ nói về vấn đề sự biến hóa.
And that I've seen it firsthand with my father.
Và điều sự đó tôi đã thấy từ ông cụ của thân tôi.
A man who raised me with very strict rules.
Một người cha đã nuôi nấng tôi rất là nghiêm khắc.
And very little affection.
Và có thể nói là không có
But the man I know today is not that guy. He's a man who's gone from not showing his emotions, not sharing affection, to a man who will not let me leave either off the phone or from his house without a hug, without some kind of embrace, without words of I love you.
Ông cụ tôi bao giờ ngày trước chưa bao giờ bày tỏ những cái tình cảm, nhưng mà bây giờ thì ông luôn luôn muốn tôi ôm ông, nói những lời nói rất là tình cảm.
He's completely different than the man I knew when I grew up.
Và ông hoàn toàn thay đổi từ khi lúc trước.
And that's because I believe that that's the work that continues to be shown throughout the Bible, and that's the work of transformation.
Và tôi tin rằng cái sự kiện đó xảy ra vì cái một biến cố mà Kinh Thánh đã nói nhiều là sự biến hóa.
All right, so we read our verses this morning, and the one I'm going to kind of key out of is 2 Corinthians 3:18.
Và quý vị đã nghe những câu Kinh Thánh đọc trước đây, và cái câu gốc mà tôi muốn dùng là câu Corinthians 3:18.
And we've already read it, so I'm gonna trust that you've read that, and we're gonna move forward. Now, as an educator, I've been to many conferences, many seminars, and many teachings, either in church or in meeting houses.
Với công việc của tôi trong vấn đề lĩnh vực giáo dục, tôi đã đi đến rất nhiều những buổi họp.
And I always get a little nervous when the person speaking says they're going to summarize a book, a whole book, into one word.
Và khi nào mà có những người diễn giả mà tuyên bố rằng ông ta có thể tóm tắt những ý trong cuốn sách vào một chữ thì tôi lấy làm nghi ngờ.
However, that's what I'm doing today.
Nhưng mà đó lại là cái điều mà tôi muốn làm ngày hôm nay.
For since the fall of man, ever since man fell in the Garden of Eden, God has been in the business of transforming us to be more like Him, to be what we were created to be. So, for instance, it does not come natural, at least not to me. If Pastor Wee were to come up to me and smack me, just unprovoked, just come up and smack me as hard as he could, my flesh would be to smack him back, right? Right? If someone hits you, your natural inclination is to hit them back. Or at least to run away. See, that's how we as human beings are wired. We fight or we run. But Jesus teaches something very different. He doesn't say fight back. He doesn't say run away. He said turn the other cheek. He didn't say duck. He said turn the other cheek. And when your enemy gives you a bag to carry, don't carry it the mile, carry it 2 miles. So if we seek to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, then how do we go about this? How does this happen? Because I'm telling you, I still fight my flesh. I'm just like you. I still get cut off in traffic. And my first thought often is to simply drive my truck or my car right into the guy who cut me off. I'll bet he'll look then, won't he? I just drive my truck into him. He'll start looking where he's going. But I can't do that. And not because I'm your pastor. I can't do that because I'm a believer. And God is trying to transform me. He's trying to renew me. Make me different. So how does this happen? How do we try to help this transformation take place? I'm going to take you to a classroom. And we're going to talk about an observation called Bloom's taxonomy. If you've ever been in a teaching classroom where you were being taught how to be a teacher, you would learn about Bloom's taxonomy. It's levels of learning. Okay? And one of my favorite pastors that I enjoy listening to, his name is Pete Scazzaro. He's a pastor of New Life Fellowship in Queens, New York. He wrote a book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. That's a tough one. Emotionally healthy spirituality.
Yeah. Okay. Emotionally.
It's okay. Okay. It's okay. Okay. If they want it, I'll send you a copy.
Yeah, there's some link my prayer.
And his basic idea that he feels, and I would agree with him, that the Lord has given him, is that if you want to be spiritually mature, then you have to be emotionally healthy.
Và ông nói, tôi rất tin tưởng là ông nói là nếu chúng ta có muốn có một cái đời sống tâm linh lớn mạnh, chúng ta phải có một cái tình cảm rất là khỏe mạnh.
Okay. So with that in mind, what he's done, we're going to take, how do we take truth and allow truth, big T truth, Bible truth, and how do we transform our lives through that? How does our life become transformed through the truth of God's Word?
Và chúng ta sẽ thảo luận về vấn đề chân lý trong Kinh Thánh này và sao chúng ta có thể áp dụng chân lý đó để biến hóa đời sống chúng ta.
Okay, so it starts with being aware.
Điều thứ nhất là cái sự nhận thức.
You become aware of a truth.
Chúng ta bắt đầu nhận biết được cái chân lý đó.
So for all of you who know Jesus, who you follow Jesus, you would call yourself a Christian.
So, quý vị, nếu quý vị đã tin tin Chúa và là một tín nhân.
There is a very simple truth that you became aware of.
Và sẽ có một chân lý rất là đơn giản mà quý vị phải nhận biết.
And that truth was Jesus loves you.
Và cái chân lý đó là Chúa Giêsu yêu quý vị.
We sing about it even as little children.
Chúng ta hát về vấn đề này.
Like I see some of you, you're going, that music, those Jesus loves me, this I know for the Bible, it's going through your mind right now.
That
very simple but very powerful truth from the Bible. You became aware of it at some point. The next thing that happened was you began to ponder that truth. So first you became aware of it. Then you began to ponder it. Pondering something, you don't agree with it or disagree with it. You're thinking on it.
Khi nói về vấn đề suy gẫm thì quý vị chưa có quyết định là chống đối hay đồng ý mà chỉ suy gẫm.
My dad used to use a phrase often. He would say, "You need to stew on this."
Ông cụ thân tôi thì hay nói là chúng ta phải suy nghĩ giống như chúng ta phải là nấu cái thức ăn.
You know, for us growing up, a stew is something that you cook all day. It's like a soup that just cooks and cooks and cooks.
Và cái nhất là cái món cái gì vậy?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. That.
Thế và quý vị là phải hầm cái thức ăn rất là lâu cả ngày.
Yeah, that's it. So you really think on it, just like a stew cooks all day. You kind of cook on that thought. You let that go through your mind quite often. That's pondering.
Giống như quý vị phải hầm một cái thức ăn rất là lâu.
So when you're aware, it's just, oh, Jesus loves you. Okay, so that's a thought. You're aware of it. When you ponder it, you begin to ask questions. What if Jesus really does love me?
Như vậy thì đầu tiên quý vị nhận thức được cái điều mà Chúa yêu chúng ta. Như rồi quý vị sẽ suy gẫm, rồi quý vị sẽ đặt câu hỏi. Chúa yêu chúng ta như thế nào?
So after you begin to ponder it, then you begin to value it. In other words, now there is a right and a wrong. You've put value onto this thought. For instance, if you value it, you might say to yourself, wow, Jesus loves me, and this impacts my life in a variety of ways.
Quý vị có thể định giá như là quý vị suy nghĩ cái sự tình yêu của Chúa rất là mạnh mẽ, ảnh hưởng đến đời sống chúng đời thân của tôi.
Don't. Shucks. All right, here, this will work. Okay. This is my debit card.
Đây là cái thẻ tín dụng của tôi.
If I give this to one of my preschool students at my school,
nếu mà tôi đưa cho một em nhỏ, rất là nhỏ,
it's just a piece of plastic, right? Like, it doesn't mean anything to them.
Đối với em nhỏ đó, cái này chỉ là một cái miếng plastic không nghĩa gì.
If I give it to a second grader,
nếu tôi đưa cho một em lớp nhì,
they might even know that it's a debit card, a credit card or whatever.
Có thể em nhận biết đó là một cái thẻ tín.
They might even see the numbers on it and know what those numbers are, right? Like, oh, that's a 5 and that's a 1.
Em đó có thể nhận biết những cái số trên đó.
But if I give this to my 6th grader over there,
nhưng mà nếu tôi đưa một em là học lớp 6,
it has value.
Nó có một cái giá trị.
She knows that behind this little plastic card is money. It has value.
Em đó biết được cái giá trị của cái thẻ này là sao, ở trong đó là có tiền.
Beyond that, Liam, who's a freshman in high school, he would use this in his mind. This would go to the next level. He would prioritize this. This would have priority. Because it's not just about money. It's about being able to do things in life. It becomes a priority. So this is the largest and most important shift, to go from value to priority. Look, if I lose this card right now, like if it got, have you ever lost your debit card before? I have. Have you guys ever lost it?
Okay.
I have. Freaked me out. I was not happy. Because my wife has taught me to value my what's in my bank account and to prioritize my bank account. So when I lost my debit card, I got on the phone, right? I called the company. Stop! Cancel it! Send me a new one! Because I didn't know who had my card.
Now,
if I were Liam and I just gave it value, right? He probably would not care if he lost it. It wouldn't matter to him. He doesn't have the concept that this card is a priority. So if he lost that debit card, it probably would not matter to him. He's like, oh, I'll just get another one, right?
Như vậy khi một em trong cái tuổi trung học, khi mà em biết cái giá trị của thẻ đó, nhưng mà đối với em mất cái đồng chẳng sao.
That priority isn't there yet. He doesn't understand the consequences of waking up one morning and realizing that your bank account has been completely drained. You see, that doesn't mean anything to him. So if I give, like right now, I'm not trying to pick on Liam, because they hate it when they're here and I use them in my talk. But Liam, like if I gave him a consequence of taking money away from him out of his bank account, nothing. Doesn't mean anything. But if I told him to take the cash out of his pocket and give me that money, now it means something.
Nhưng mà nếu tôi hỏi em móc túi, lấy tiền ở trong túi ra đưa tôi, thì em sẽ thấy cái sự quan trọng.
It's we're talking about like levels of awareness, levels of how we value things. Because see, when we give something a priority, it has a place in life for us. My wife, second only to Jesus, is my number one priority. My wife.
Như vậy, chúng ta nói về những cái từng lớp của những cái.
But beyond.
Những cái sự suy cảm.
I'm sorry. Beyond, I feel. Hold on. We're going to back up. I feel really bad for Nam right now because I'm doing what all pastors do. I gave him my notes on Thursday, and by the time Sunday rolls around, my notes are different. So he's trying frantically trying to find out what I'm talking about. It's just not there. So I apologize to Nam, but we're going to get through it. See, going to my wife is an analogy of priority. See, she is it. I've been out of town for a week now. I've been gone up in my parents' house, visiting with my dad, helping my mom, those things. I've been gone for a week. I called her every day.
Và khi tôi đi xa nhà thì tôi đối với tôi sao Chúa là xã tôi thì tôi đi xa tôi sẽ gọi về mỗi ngày.
Because not only does she have great value to me, she's a priority to me.
Bởi vì không những là bà là có giá trị với tôi mà còn là một ưu tiên cho tôi nữa.
Just like biblical truth, it becomes a priority to you. But then, see, now it's a priority. For instance, many of you are aware of the Sabbath, right? If I said Sabbath, you would automatically kind of, oh, Sunday. Or maybe if you're a little, you might say Saturday, right?
Như vậy thì cũng giống như vậy. Và khi quý vị nghĩ về những chân lý cho Kinh Thánh, và khi tôi nói đến chính Sabbath, thì quý vị sẽ nghĩ ngay đến hoặc là Chủ nhật, hoặc là thứ bảy.
Because you are aware of the Bible and what it says about the Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath, what? Holy. What did God do on the seventh day? What did he do? He rested. See, we have idea. We know that the Sabbath needs to be a priority to us, right? But what happens when we... Oh, this is the final one for all those note takers and bloggers and people. You own it. You own it. So it went from a priority to ownership.
Và chúng ta đi đến cái bước kế tiếp là cái sở hữu. Khi chúng ta đã kết thúc sắp đặt cái ưu tiên, chúng ta sẽ có sự sở hữu.
This is when the truth has permeated your life.
Đây là lúc mà cái chân lý đã thấm nhuần vào quý vị.
So, for me, what I mean by that is every decision, every action and thought are driven by that truth.
Và đối với tôi thì nó có nghĩa là tất cả những quyết định, những hành vi và những ý tưởng thì được phát động bởi cái chân lý đó.
One last example.
Một cái ví dụ cuối cùng.
To kind of get you in what we're talking about here. Think of a stop sign.
Tôi nghĩ đến một cái lái xe cứ thấy những stop sign.
It's red, right?
Màu đỏ, phải không? Okay.
You as parents, when you had children, little children, I remember the red stop sign. That was how I taught my children the color red. Right? I said, red. What does red mean? Stop. So they started word association, right? They became aware of it. Then, let me go through them so I don't. They became aware of it. Then they began to ponder it. Stop. What does stop mean? And because it was important, like when I say stop, they have to, they stop. Right? Right, parents? Because we know that it's important that you stop when you're told to stop. We've understood that thought. So when he's not here, so it's safe. When we were all living in Philadelphia, it's really, really busy. Lots of traffic. And we walked everywhere. One day, Catherine was walking with the children, and Ian had these rollerblades on. And my wife asked him, "Sir, are you sure you can stop when you need to?"
Anh có chắc là con có chắc là con thể nâng ngay khi mà con cần nâng không? Với cái bánh xe đó.
And like any other child, of course I can.
Quý vị biết là các em nhỏ thì em sẽ trả lời dĩ nhiên là con sẽ có thể nâng được.
At the end of the day, my wife said stop. Ian didn't stop, and he ends up under a car.
Nhưng mà khi tôi đến lúc mà vợ tôi phải nói em ngưng lại, nhưng mà em không thể ngưng lại, và cuối cùng em nằm dưới cái gầm xe.
Because stopping was something he valued, but he didn't make it a priority.
Vì cái sự ngưng lại đó đối với em có giá trị, nhưng mà em không có đặt cái ưu tiên vào đó.
So, you guys. Like, sorry, Liam. Liam, he's going to be 15. He's going to be 15 next month. He's going to get his learner's permit. Yeah. See, he's number 4. So I already know how crazy that is. But when you first get your learner's permit, and you stop at that stop sign, you stop. Why? Why do you stop at a stop sign?
Khi lần đầu tiên mà các em tập lái xe đến cái stop sign, các em phải ngừng lại. Tại sao các em phải ngừng?
Why?
Tại sao?
Somebody. It's the law. Ooh, I think he read my notes. Because it's the law, right?
Đó là luật.
Because you don't want to get a ticket. Because you can't, you don't want to go home to your wife or your mom or whatever it is and say, I got a ticket and now I have to pay for it. Right? Those thoughts are true. There's nothing wrong with those thoughts. However, me, I'll be 50, quite different. I'll be 50 this year. When I stop at a stop sign, it is not to avoid a ticket.
Nhưng mà khi tôi đã gần 50 tuổi rồi, khi mà tôi ngừng ở stop sign, không phải là tôi bị sợ bị phạt.
It's because I value life.
Nhưng mà tôi nhận biết cái đời sống, cái đời sống con người rất là quan trọng.
When if I run through that stop sign or that traffic light when it's red, if I run through there, I'm risking my life, the life of my children in the vehicle, and the life of the other people driving. It's not about the law, it's about life. And see that, to me, when you begin to own the Bible, when you begin to own the truth of the Scripture, it's no longer about the law, the letter, following, you know, I tithe this week, check. I read my Bible this week, check. I prayed this week, check. It's not about that. It's, thank you, Lord. I got to tithe today. I got to give back to you. Thank you for giving me. Do you see the difference? It's different.
Khi mà quý vị đã có Kinh Thánh nằm vào trong tim của mình rồi, thì khi mà quý vị làm những công việc với Chúa, không phải vì Kinh Thánh dạy quý vị phải làm cái này, phải làm cái kia, nhưng vì quý vị biết là đó là vì cái đúng, chúng ta là cái đức nhân, con cái của Chúa, chúng ta làm cái điều đó.
Like prayer. I don't look at prayer as a chore. I prayer as a privilege, this dialogue that I get to have with God Almighty. See, before when I was a little kid, say your prayers. You remember? Say your prayers. It's not about that anymore. But it taught me, right? It was a good thing. But now it's, nobody has to tell me to pray. Nobody. I can't help but pray.
Như vấn đề cầu nguyện, như là trước đây khi tôi còn nhỏ thì cha mẹ dạy tôi là phải cầu nguyện, thì đó là một bộ phận. Nhưng mà dần dần bây giờ khi tôi trưởng thành trong cái điều thuộc linh, thì đó là một cái điều
privilege. What is privilege?
Đặc ân. Dạ, là một đặc ân.
Yeah.
Là một đặc ân là tôi có thể cầu nguyện với Chúa.
Like I really am. Okay, so it starts with awareness, and then you ponder it, And then you value it, and then you prioritize it, and now you own it. Look, nobody told me today, you better go to church. No, it's a priority. It's something I own. I love to go to church, and not because I'm a pastor, because that's where I feel at home.
Vì vậy, chúng ta bắt đầu bằng cái sự nhận thức, chúng ta suy gẫm, chúng ta định giá, rồi chúng ta đặt ưu tiên, rồi chúng ta có cái chân lý đó trong tim chúng ta, thì chúng ta sẽ có sự tự nhiên và thờ phượng Chúa rất là tự nhiên.
Okay. So I'm going to give you some key reminders. It's all right. Everybody take a deep breath. I'm almost done. Okay. I have three reminders that I want you to kind of keep in your head. Be patient. It takes time. When you were a little child, those truths that are real for you now, it took a really long time to get to this point, didn't it?
Quý vị nhớ lại, quý vị còn nhỏ, cái chân lý này nó đi vào tâm khảm quý vị phải qua rất là thời gian rất là dài.
So keep going, be patient.
Vậy chúng ta cần phải kiên nhẫn, tiếp tục.
The second reminder, a key reminder, remember, this is a process. And we will never reach fulfillment until the return of Jesus. Did you catch that? Some of you struggle because you think you should be perfect by now. You'll never will be. My dad, who's almost 80 years old, he knows he's going to die. He knows it's about to happen. I woke up, it was about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I just something said, wake up, check on your dad. While I was there this week, I woke up and I went to check on my dad. And my dad is in his dining room, studying the Bible, meditating on God's Word, and journaling, trying to get something new to learn and remember from the Lord.
Trong cái tuần lễ vừa qua khi tôi với ông cụ tôi, thì ông cụ bây giờ đã 80, và trong những ngày cuối cùng của ông, thì buổi tối ngủ thì tôi nhớ là tôi nhắc tôi là 3:30-4 giờ sáng thì chạy qua để chúc mừng cho ông. Nhưng mà tôi thấy là ông đã ngồi và đọc Kinh Thánh và cầu nguyện và take note để học hỏi lời của Chúa và tiếp tục.
So even he gets it. He only has weeks to live, and he still wants to go through the process of learning and growing.
Vậy như vậy, khi ông cụ mặc dù biết là mình sắp trở về Chúa, nhưng mà ông vẫn tiếp tục cái tiến trình để học hỏi.
Okay, so the third reminder.
Và cái điểm thứ ba thì nhớ.
Probably the most important one to remember.
Điều quan trọng nhất thì quý vị nhớ.
True change is the work of the Holy Spirit. Pray for and earnestly seek after Him. He will guide you in the areas that He desires to change you. Because I have a mother and a wife, I speak with a little bit of authority on this. My wife, I do the same to her, right? My wife looks at my life and she goes, you need to change this and you need to change that and you need to change this, right? She's got all the change. She's very aware of the things I need to change.
Và khi bà tôi nhìn và nói với tôi là anh phải đổi thế này, phải thay cái kia, bà đã thấy là tôi cần phải thay đổi rất là nhiều.
And I do the same to her. You need to change this and you need to change that. If you would just do this, right? We do that to each other.
Và tôi cũng trả lời với bà cũng cần phải thay đổi điều này, thay đổi điều kia. Và cả hai đều nói với nhau như vậy.
That's not really the way God works most of the time.
Nhưng mà đó không phải là cách mà Chúa làm.
Yes, we need other people telling us, hey, there's some things you probably ought to work on in your life. But until the Lord works on you, it's not going to matter. There are so many areas in my life that once I gave it over to the Lord, that's when change happened. And I think that's what will happen with all of us. Allow the Lord to change you. Yes, we need to read our Bible. We need to pray. See, those are the tools that the Lord uses to change us. To make us aware. To allow us to ponder. And go through that process.
Right.
Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you for your life and example. Thank you for your return. Lord, thank you for this congregation. I ask your blessings over them, that as they go out through the week, that you would give them the truths that they need to be aware of, that they need to ponder, they need to give value to prioritize, and then finally that they need to own. Because once that ownership begins, life begins to change. Transform us, Lord. Make us new. In your precious name. Amen.